Today on Real Radio.
God can do anything, even on national TV. But God, in my opinion, I've seen God do a lot more privately where there's no cameras and none of that hype. That when some people get together and pray in Jesus' name, things move. Things happen. People are touched. Lives are changed.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called What Christians Believe. God's Holy Spirit is just that. He is holy, and He does wondrous things in the life of the believer. And He is Spirit. In other words, He is a He and not an it. And the major role that He plays in the life of the believer is part of what pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs addresses in this lesson called What Christians Believe About the Baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Galatians 6, verses 7 and 9 says, "For whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. For whoever sows to the flesh will reap of the flesh death, but whoever sows to the Spirit will reap the Spirit of everlasting life. Let us not grow weary in well-doing, but in due season we shall all reap a harvest if we don't lose heart." That's a great verse. Galatians 5:25 says, "If we live in the Spirit," that is, if we live after God and not our own desire, so God, live your life in and through me by the Holy Spirit, "let us also walk in the Spirit." And that's a great, great work of the Spirit. Listen, not only that, but as the witness is, His is the power behind our words. Our personal witness at sharing Christ with others. It doesn't have to be preaching. It doesn't have to be being a big mouth. It doesn't have to be, you know, a real extrovert person. Just when opportunity lands, maybe God will bring somebody into your life. That's a being a witness when you speak to somebody about Christ. And that's an interesting thing. We know that in Luke chapter 1, verse 41, Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, Jesus and John the Baptist were cousins 6 months apart. It says that when Elizabeth was pregnant in Luke 1:41, it says Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit and she spoke with a loud voice. And of course, it says she glorified God. Now, that doesn't mean, don't get me wrong, that if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be yelling with a loud voice like the guys on TV. That's not what that means. That's not what that means. In that case, she gives glory to God. That's important regarding our words. Luke 1:67. It says, "And the father of John the Baptist, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit, and they prophesied, saying." So when the Holy Spirit's power is upon our life, there's the Holy Spirit controlling our words. In Isaiah 50, verse 4 says, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should now know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." So when the Holy Spirit has possession of our words, of our vocabulary, of our tongue, it is the Spirit of God that will speak through us. And it's so wonderful because, listen, I would hope that all of us experience this. There's a time when you're talking to somebody and you're just casually talking to them and it goes spiritual. It goes Bible, whatever it might be, and you start telling them something. And you know what? And all of a sudden you're talking to them, and you can't believe what's coming out of your mouth. I thought I forgot all this. And it's coming out, and you're impressed with yourself. The thing is, it's not you. It's the Lord coming out because you've been sowing, right? So to speak, the seed and the word, you're there, it's germinating, and now it's coming out of you, and you're talking to somebody, and somebody say, "I don't know what I'm supposed to do, I don't know." And some gem of wisdom will come plop right out of your mouth, right into their heart, and they'll go, "Oh my goodness, yes, oh," and you're going, "Yeah, yeah." How'd that happen? It's God. It's the Holy Spirit working in your life. It's an amazing, wonderful thing. So He's the power behind our words. The Bible teaches us the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Thirdly, we see that as the witness, He's the power behind our passion. The Holy Spirit is the power behind our passion. When I use the word passion, I mean a godly or divine passion. A true enthusiasm about God is both convincing and contagious. Acts chapter 5, verse 40. And they agreed with him, it says. And when they had called for the apostles, they beat them, because remember, they were sharing Christ. They beat the apostles, and they commanded them that they should no longer speak in Jesus' name and let them go. So they departed from the presence of the council, listen, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the shame of Jesus' name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus as the Christ. A godly passion, the power behind that passion is convincing and contagious. Here you see the apostles, they get beat up for speaking Jesus' name. You know what? I believe that we are on the precursors to that in our culture. I really do think, are you crazy? Listen, never before in America have we ever been told you can't pray in Jesus' name. I think this is just the beginning. Right now it's kind of subtle, if you call that subtle. Okay, Pastor, you can pray here at the city thing or the county that or the state this. You can pray. We want you to pray. Looks kind of good for us, you know, like freedom. But don't mention Jesus' name. You can mention anybody else's name, but don't mention his name. It wasn't this city, but I was at another city, and they told me that. They said, Pastor, you're welcome. Say, okay, when you go up there, don't mention God as a he or a she or, you know, don't mention him as a gender. And don't say in Jesus' name. Don't refer to him as Father. I'm not joking. I didn't say okay. I didn't say nothing. I just looked at him, you know, like a dummy. And everybody's standing around in suits and everyone's getting ready and the, you know, I didn't say okay. I didn't say nothing. And so I walked up there and I prayed the way the Bible says to pray. And my schedule's busy enough. I wasn't invited back. It's okay. It's all right with that. It's okay with that. In Acts 13, verse 50, 1350, the book of Acts, it says, but the religious leaders of the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, and they raised up a persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. And Paul and Barnabas shook off the dust from their feet against them and came to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Why? Because they saw very influential leaders in the church, Paul and Barnabas, being faithful to Jesus. And the Lord honored that, and they rejoiced. Wow, we have a faith. Listen, church, they're saying, we've got a faith that we can stand upon. It's worth living for. It's worth dying for. Wow, this is amazing what Paul and Barnabas did. They're all filled with joy. And apparently in that moment, the Holy Spirit came upon them. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. The believer's life is one that is filled over and over again with the power of the Holy Spirit. People, do we not feel weak? I know it's hard for us guys to admit that, but we feel weak too. We feel weak against this or against that. Maybe some of you are being tempted by internet pornography. Maybe some of you, again, are tempted by violence or aggression or temper. Maybe it's fear. The fear that you live under is tempting you to do stupid or silly things. Listen, you need to cry out to the Holy Spirit. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit. Cause the Holy Spirit to come upon me and grant me victory in this. God didn't save us to have us walk in this defeated walk. Are we dependent upon the Holy Spirit? That's the strongest place we can be, is if we're crying out to him. Number two, we look to our study. Point number two, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's our source of our experience. It is the Holy Spirit who's our source. John 14, 12, Jesus says, most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these will he do. That's hard to believe, isn't it? He gives the answer, why? Because I go to my Father. Greater works. I believe that Jesus meant leading people to Christ. Have you noticed when you read the Gospels, when Jesus preached, did more people sign up to follow him, or did more people decide not to walk with him anymore? Have you ever noticed that? Tens of thousands, no doubt, in time followed him, many of them because why? They were hungry. They wanted to see a miracle. Oh, Jesus, do this. Oh, Jesus, do that. We want to see this. We want to see that. But when he was nailed to the cross, where were they? In fact, that Passion Week, they turned on him. Everyone forsook him. He was all alone. Nobody came to rescue him. Nobody came to defend him. Even his disciples fled. So when Jesus says, greater works you'll do because I'm going to the Father. In John's Gospel, chapters 14 and 16, Jesus tells us why. He says, I'm going to go to the Father, and when I get there, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, that was the day of Pentecost, when he comes in power upon you, that's when you're going to go out and be witnesses of me to the uttermost parts of the world. That's what happened. So the source of our experience in our Christianity is the Holy Spirit. And apparently, from Scripture, from Jesus himself, we can expect to see some pretty radical things. Chiefly, I believe, leading people to Christ. Because after Pentecost, what do you see the church doing? The first message Peter preaches after Pentecost, what does he do? He opens up his mouth. He talks. It's recorded. It's got to be a two-minute sermon on the southern steps of the Temple Mount. And 3,000 people are converted. The church grows in first service. 3,000 people come forward. That would make the Crusades look like a joke. Greater works. I believe that that's the greatest miracle of all. It's not, you know, I mean, God causes legs to grow and eyes to be open and all that stuff. He does that and he can do anything. I think the greatest miracle of all is for a person to come to faith in Jesus Christ. That is by far to me the greatest thing. But anyway, Jesus says that you will do greater works. He's the source of our experience, the Holy Spirit, in our walk. Mark 16, 15. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 20. And Jesus said to them, go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will not by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God the Father, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs and wonders, the Bible says. Wow. By the way, all these cool miracles that are listed, it's in the context of those going out to preach the gospel. And that's exactly for the last 2,000 years where we've seen this happen in droves as a Christian church throughout the last 2,000 years. If you want to see miracles, go to the mission field. That's not the reason why you should go to the mission field. But the Bible makes it very clear. Where the gospel is not present, you preach the gospel and you pray for people, miracles are done to confirm to them the message that you are just preaching to them. And by the way, God can do anything, even on national TV. But God, in my opinion, I've seen God do a lot more privately where there's no cameras and none of that hype. That when some people get together and pray in Jesus' name, things move. Things happen. People are touched. Lives are changed in a tremendous way. We were in Piccadilly Circus preaching the gospel. Tim Minney was playing the guitar. Some of you were there. And that big guy, Danny, from Ireland. We didn't know his name at the time. We didn't know where he was from. But he was nasty. He was cussing. We were preaching and he was telling us. In fact, one pastor told us, man, he was a native pastor there. He says, you guys, you're really hitting a nerve here because when these Europeans get really upset and they start cussing at you, they start using words that make no sense whatsoever. That's real cussing. When they start calling you a this and a that, and it's like, a what? They're really after you. And we're starting to hear, I mean, the bobbies, you know, the police, they're standing there and these words are flying. And they're telling us to go back to America, you know, we're a bunch of rebels and all this stuff. And then they go into the names. this one guy, Danny, he is using every name, everything, and he goes up, and Tim Meaney's standing behind the microphone. Tim's no small man. And that guy hits Tim right in the chest. And Tim, I thought, you know, there's going to be a fight. And we all, and we kind of started advancing, you know. And Tim, it was the Holy Spirit on Tim. Tim put his guitar, he just dropped his guitar down, and he said, "You really just hurt my feelings very badly." And this guy's looking down at Tim, and he goes, "What?" And he goes, "I didn't mean to hurt your feelings." We wind up sharing with the guy. We pray with him. He accepts the Lord. Listen, he accepts the Lord. We're praying. And then he says, "You know, I haven't seen my woman," he called her. "I haven't seen my woman in months. Will you pray that I would be able to get back with my woman? And I think she may have had my baby by now." Okay, let's pray. We gathered around and we prayed and we said, "Lord, we just ask you to bring his woman. Bring him." We did. I remember. I was praying the prayer. "Lord, we just ask you to bring his woman and cause them to come back together. And Lord, just save her too." And he's, "Yes, Lord, yes." Big, burly iron worker. And we said, "In Jesus' name, amen." We pick our heads up from prayer, and she's standing right next to him. Pregnant out to here. She saw some people praying. Her life was so messed up. She came over to a group of people praying. And little did she know that when we got done bowing our heads and picked up our heads, there was her man right there that had been separated for months. Only God can do that. Now, you don't have to go to England to have something like that happen. But you got to be willing, you know, Lord. Because, you know, we're all afraid of anything or everything. We'll just stay put, you know. But when we step out, the Lord is so mighty and so wonderful. He's the source in our lives, upon us through the world as a witness. Listen, he's a source upon us as a church. It is the Holy Spirit that works and moves among the people, us here. The Holy Spirit is speaking. Those of us who are Christians, he's always talking to us. He talks to us out of the Bible. He brings us under the understanding in a local church. I don't know if you know this or not, but a local church, God loves a local church. We know that from the Bible. He establishes local churches. There's some people that go from church to church to church to church. They're just kind of like a little bee. They're busy, but they don't get much done because they don't ever plant themselves in a church to become a servant of the Lord. They just don't dig in. They're just flying around. Listen, when you sit put in a church and you say, "Lord, use me here," God begins to speak and puts things on your heart so that you become a viable participant in the work of the ministry in any given church that you are, wanting to serve in and being available at. So it's the Holy Spirit that does that in our lives. He comes upon us for our good. And what I mean by that is this. Please understand, it's so very simple. Turn in your Bibles to Luke's Gospel, chapter 11. Luke 11. Jesus is speaking to his disciples, believers. Luke 11, verse 9. Jesus said, "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone?" What do you think the answer is? No. "Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish?" Answer, no. "Or if he asks for an egg, will he give him a scorpion?" No. Verse 13, "If you then being evil," Jesus is not insulting the disciples. He's saying, if you being mere human beings know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? He's talking to the believers, to his church. People, it's this. If you and I will determine from here on out to daily plead and seek the filling of the Holy Spirit, God wants to answer your prayer in this area, in every aspect of your life. You name it. What is troubling you? Ask God to send the power of the Holy Spirit to be active in your life. What do you need? Ask the Lord to have Him baptize you in the Holy Spirit again. What are your gifts as a church? You as a Christian, what is your spiritual gift? You're supposed to know it. If you don't know it, it's because, honestly, you're not asking, seeking, and knocking. If you don't know it, honestly, you're not very serious about your Jesus and getting His work done. Because if you were, you'd want to find out, Lord, where do I fit in? What did you create me to do? So, Lord, speak to me. Lord, make me desperate before your throne. Plead with Him. Knock, ask, seek. He says, I will reveal myself to those who diligently seek after me. We take such a recreational approach to Jesus, and then we wonder why our walks are so powerless. When you read the book of Acts, when the Holy Spirit came upon the believers, they went off on their way and spoke the word of God, it says, with boldness. It says in the Bible that, in the book of Acts, that in one instance, they spoke with tongues. And then there's interpretation tongues. In one instance, there was Peter filled with the Holy Spirit and turning and spoke, and a great sermon came out of his mouth. In one instance, Paul was filled with the Holy Spirit and turned and spoke to that woman who was a witch. Remember, she was following them, and she was possessed by a demon. And Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, winds up casting that demon out of her life. And I just want you to know, when Paul says that he revels in his weakness, he takes comfort in his weaknesses because that's when Christ is strong in him. People, please understand, we need to embrace our weaknesses and say, Lord, look how weak I am. I'm so weak. Lord, I need you to be my strength. Did you know that when Napoleon's armies were losing in a battle, maybe you've read this in history, when Napoleon's armies were losing in battle, because he had so many wars going on, all they had to do was send a message that Napoleon was on his way. Did you know that? They just send a message to the army that's losing, the French army's losing. Send him a note. Napoleon's coming. They would get the note. He's coming! Our leader's coming. Come on, he's coming. Let's whip these guys. And they would win just at the word of his coming. That's how powerful. Napoleon loved his troops, and they knew it. The Holy Spirit, He's our power. And He wants to come into our lives. He already dwells within every one of you who are believers, but now He wants to come upon us with power. Amen?
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study called What Christians Believe About the Baptism in the Holy Spirit, it's an essential look at who the Holy Spirit really is, as well as the importance and the essential roles that He plays in the life of the believer. What Christians Believe About the Baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's the name of this presentation and part of Pastor Jack's collection of topical studies called What Christians Believe. There's a lot more ahead, so join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we've received quite a number of inquiries on this series called What Christians Believe, asking, is the audio available? Well, the answer is simply yes, it is, and here's our offer. For your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you the entire series all on one MP3 CD. That's Pastor Jack's entire series, What Christians Believe, all on one MP3 CD for your gift of any amount to this outreach of Real Radio. Simply visit us at realradioactive.org, that's realradioactive.org, and then just click on the banner that says What Christians Believe, that's realradioactive.org. Or if you'd like to call us, we'd like to hear your voice at 1-877-RR-RADIO, that's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.